This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Wednesday morning to you. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Coming up on the show today, now that the Super Bowl is done, we look forward to the offseason. And what an offseason it's going to be for quarterbacks. We've got the list of everybody changing places, maybe changing places, dealing with some public drama, and the list is rather long. And you don't usually hear something like this, where there is so much concern for some teams about where their quarterbacks could be, or you know, could be staying, could be going, and what it is going, what they're going through with their current stars. And the list is pretty deep, and we'll get to that coming up. Also, with pitchers and catchers set to report next week, Major League Baseball is going to look different in 2021, but the same as 2020. There's a lot of things that we're keeping from the last year's 60-game season. But how are the economics going to look for Major League Baseball? 162 games, we're going to start allowing some fans in. And what are some of the gimmicky things that we saw last year to sort of get through a season that they're going to keep for the whole year? We're going to kind of dive into that a little bit. And also we're going to talk more about Mark Cuban's situation, because that's getting a lot of attention. Him deciding at the beginning of the season not to play the national anthem at Dallas Mavericks games. This is sort of a big deal, little deal, no deal kind of situation for a lot of people, because the anthem and the kneeling was a concern for a lot of owners in sports. They didn't want to tell players not to do it, but they also knew that there was a backlash. I think Cuban is making a stand saying, you know what, I'm going to put it out of everybody's hands. There can be no kneeling for the anthem because there is no anthem. But is he going to get backlash from people who want the anthem before games? But could he also be setting a trend that makes us go, gee, why do we play the national anthem in front of sport in the beginning of sporting events anyway? And should we be doing that? And is that a good idea? We'll discuss that as well. But coming up, the offseason for quarterbacks in the NFL is going to be a lot of fun. A lot of drama, a lot of what ifs, a lot of possibilities, a lot of changing seats. We'll get the list as we continue. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along with Wake Up Call. Good morning to you. All right, today every home in America needs a reliable thermometer for twice-a-day temperature readings. That's important, so protect your family with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. It's the only home thermometer used and recommended by hospitals, physicians, and clinics. All right, so you may have heard the story about Russell Wilson wanting to have more input in the roster. He's tired of getting hit because he got hit a lot last year, including five times against the Rams in their playoff loss. But that is just one of many quarterback stories that we've got headed into the offseason. I started thinking about this yesterday, right? Look, Trevor Lawrence is going to get drafted. Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, a lot of these quarterbacks that are coming up. The kid from North Dakota State is expected to be a first round pick. So naturally, the quarterback conversation is going to happen in the NFL in the offseason. This is what we do. But when you think about all of the stories that are starting to come about with teams, you start realizing this is a very dramatic offseason for that position. Now, it starts in Houston, a story that we've had for a number of weeks now, where Deshaun Watson is very, very, very unhappy with the Texans organization. So much so that he absolutely doesn't want to play for them at all, at any point going forward. And the Texans, under new general manager Nick Caserio, have not done anything to sort of smooth the waters with Deshaun Watson. So if indeed Houston is going to trade him, that's going to set a domino effect around the league. Now, we've already seen one other major trade in the quarterback situation in the NFL when Matt Stafford went to the Rams, and Jared Goff, who was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, is just going to keep the seat warm for whatever future quarterback is coming in a massive rebuild for the Lions. Now you've got the story about, you know, Carson Wentz is on the move out of Philadelphia and the Eagles desire to trade him. Mitch Trubisky is in that conversation. By the way, Sam Darnold in New York is in the conversation as a possible trade option for the Jets who want to pick up a Deshaun Watson. You've got Denver and Drew Locke. They're uncertain about him. Their name is being bantied about. You've got Russell Wilson, as I mentioned earlier, in Seattle. And now you've got this story about Dak Prescott out of a hype, left out of a hype video that was put out by the Dallas Cowboys, who say it was a mistake. But how do you make that kind of mistake? There is so much turmoil right now with the position. And this is the thing, right? We know this, that you can be one of the top scorers in the NBA, and you will have your day to go around the league, wined and dined when your free agency arrives. Same thing in Major League Baseball. Get to that point where your contract is about ready to be over. Start hearing the offers from everybody that wants your services. And in the NFL, they get to do that too. For the most part, if you're a running back, or you're a wide receiver, or you're a defensive end, or you're a corner. But do you really get to do that if you're a star quarterback? No, because the league has created a system in which the best money you're going to get is with the team that drafted you, and they're going to keep locking you in until they really don't want you anymore. So we don't see Aaron Rodgers getting courted by everybody. We don't see that with star players. We don't see that opportunity. It has to come from the team. The team has to want you to go do that. You don't do that to the team. Right, you start playing. They lock you in. They say, "Look, you're our guy. Here's the huge money deal." Right, you're the most important position in all of sports. So yeah, you're going to be very, very, very well paid. If indeed you're the guy, and then there's going to be a whole bunch of people going, "He's not worth it. I wouldn't have paid that kind of money." But the market dictates that even guys you don't think are worth 30 plus million a year are going to get 30 plus million a year. And that sometimes locks teams into a great quarterback for the future, and sometimes it locks them into situations they are desperate to get out of, like the Rams and Jared Goff, or even the Eagles and Carson Wentz. But the quarterback position is just so unique in all of sports in that it is the most important position, and yet we don't see these guys on the move. And here is a list of people that I just gave you that could be on the move this offseason. At one time, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how the AFC is starting to build its roster of young, exciting quarterbacks. From Patrick Mahomes at the top, all the way to Trevor Lawrence, who'll be coming in and playing for Jacksonville as the number one overall pick. Right? Justin Herbert had a good year. I mean, the list of Josh Allen, of course, in Buffalo, and the list is pretty deep. Joe Burrow going into his second year, coming off an injury. But the other story of the quarterbacks this offseason is how much musical chairs are actually going to be played here. Is Deshaun Watson actually going to get traded from Houston, one of the best young quarterbacks in the game? And if when that happens, if that does happen, if Houston gives up and says, fine, we'll do it, where would he go? And how many of these teams are going to be in the running with whatever they have, because Watson is going to be a better option for most teams in the NFL than what they have at quarterback right now. I mean, are teams looking and going, look, let's package something. Even though we keep telling everybody we're okay with this guy, we know we could do better with that guy. Like if you're in Dallas and you want to embrace Dak Prescott, and Jerry Jones was just in tears when Prescott got hurt. But in the end, you sit around a room going, let's figure out a way to get Deshaun Watson. Think about all the teams that are in play if that actually happens. And now throw in Carson Wentz is on the trading block, right? I mean, you could see a situation where the Jets want to trade Sam Darnold. I mean, all of a sudden now, all of these QBs are moving. We saw Matt Stafford move to the Rams and Jared Goff go to Detroit. That is a rare trade. That is a rare trade of starting quarterbacks, especially experienced quarterbacks. One went to a Super Bowl, for crying out loud. So this is going to be fun if you like this kind of thing, if you like this kind of sort of drama. Because, you know, the offseason is the offseason in the NFL. It's going to keep along. We in a blink of an eye, we'll be really breaking down the draft. You know, it's going to be a different draft, right? There's no combine. Everything's going to be virtual. We're going to see players that are going to be talked about that we didn't see last year in college football because they opted out. And we're going to see players that we don't really know a lot about because there was a limited season for some teams. But nevertheless, the grades are good. The scouts have done their jobs. Well, we'll see if they've done their jobs. But that's the way the draft is going to be in late April. But amidst all of that, it's going to be a lot of drama at the quarterback position, a lot of changing faces at the quarterback position. And I'm kind of looking forward to it because, to be honest with you, we were sort of robbed in a way of last year of a real offseason. Everything was kind of on hold. Everybody was pausing. We weren't really sure. Remember, the Patriots went a while before they finally went, yeah, Cam Newton, we can figure this out. Cam Newton went forever without getting a job. And I think a lot of people were wondering how much COVID had to do with him because he was coming off an injury and they couldn't really evaluate him properly. Right? So COVID kind of kept this out of this sort of normal development that we get with players moving. There's some free agency. There's going to be free agency this year. But with all of the drama that I just laid out in the quarterback position, it's almost making up for last year's sort of, well, we were more concerned if we were even going to have football than what an off season for the season was going to look like. Right. I mean, that's basically where a lot of us were in March and April wondering, you know, sports was shutting down. We kind of felt like, well, the fall, we should have a pretty good handle on this, right? But as the summer started to progress, I think people were starting to wonder even if we would have college or NFL football. And it didn't look like we were going to have college football at all. NFL, you kind of felt like in the end they were going to pull this off, and they did. But the platter is filled with all of the goodies from the quarterback position. And it really does start in Houston. That domino with Deshaun Watson, however that plays out, if he stays in Houston, what does it mean for other teams that wanted to have played in the Watson sweepstakes with their current guy? But if he is on the trading block, how many names and teams are we going to start hearing as soon as that possibility emerges? Once the news starts coming out that the Texans are starting to talk to teams, how many local writers are going to jump in with the package that their team is putting together? Maybe you think your quarterback of the future is in place, and maybe it could be Deshaun Watson. All right, coming up next, Mark Cuban says no national anthem anymore at Dallas Mavericks games. Is this going to be a new trend, or is this going to be enough of a backlash that he changes policy? And if Cuban the kind of guy that would change policy? We'll talk about that next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking. Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows when it's time to replace your wiper blades. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Professional parts people help you navigate the wide selection to find the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install your wiper blades free of charge. See better, drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, so as I mentioned earlier, the quarterback drama this year could be pretty fantastic this offseason. It could be really fun.
It's going to be so much fun.
You mentioned that there might be some multiple suitors, like it could be a three-way trade for Deshaun Watson, and that even adds more of an element of fun to the drama.
It's getting to a point now, I don't know if the Texans are willing to deal with just one team.
Well, yeah, very true. I mean,
outside, you know, the Jets have obviously the most to give. Or the Jaguars, if they just want to say, hey, you guys want Trevor? We'll take Deshaun. I mean, that could happen too.
I mean, that's the other possibility. I mean, to go with the young, proven commodity, then even if all the accolades come Trevor Lawrence's way, you're still not 100% sure what you're getting.
But I think with any other team, if they want to get into the mix, they got to bring another suitor in with them. And that's where the chaos will really come to play.
Yeah, I know. It could be fantastic. It really could be fun. So like I said, we missed out on a really good offseason last year. Could be made up with all this quarterback drama. All right, so Mark Cuban says no national anthem for games at the Mavericks. He's been doing this all year. Nobody really paid attention to it until it was finally brought to the media's attention that he has not been doing this in the 13 home games so far this season. By the way, how did that happen? How did that happen that they played 13 home games and finally America is finding out that he's setting the trend of no national anthem? Are other NBA teams doing this that we don't know about?
I guess no one watches Maverick games.
Yeah. Are NHL teams not doing this and we don't know about it?
Well, the Canadian bubble's not doing it.
No, that's true. Yeah, well, yeah. NHL doesn't really have to worry about the kneeling anyway.
No.
Yeah, it's hard to kneel. Well, I guess you could kneel with the skates, right?
It's cold on the knees.
So, but you could. I mean, to make a stand, you could, I guess. But Cuban just sort of eliminated the debate, right? Like whether, the kneeling, right? Instead of spending a season getting tied down in that debate, he just went no anthem and created a new debate, but it's a different kind of debate, right? Because I think even the most staunch patriot, you could still ask, why do we do this all the time? Like, why are we playing the national anthem? Do we have to? I mean, is it necessary? It's almost like something that we do and have done, and nobody ever wonders why. But we do it, And Cuban is now taking it off the table. I will say this. Of all the owners that are going to be bold enough to withstand the backlash, Cuban is one of them, right? Cuban can take the hits that could come his way from people who are not happy with the fact that the anthem isn't played at the beginning of Dallas Mavericks games. But Cuban, I think, is relying on enough people saying, yeah, you know what? It's not that big of a deal to do it, that he's going to say, look, I've taken a contentious thing. People are equally on both sides, and I've sort of eliminated it. I've taken it off the table. I was blown away that it had gone this long. I thought he had just did it, it for this last pass game, and it wasn't until I, looked into it, I was like, he's been doing it all year, nobody said anything.
13 home games, not a single national anthem.
Maybe it's because we're, the media is like, as soon as football season is over, we'll definitely have an NBA story, we promise. We'll have something interesting about the NBA, don't you worry about
it. Just holding on to that nugget.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Like, we'll make sure there's news that for you. And then as soon as the Super Bowl is done and the hype dies down, they're like, guess who hasn't been playing the Star Spangled Banner in front of basketball games anymore? Yep. Your Dallas Mavericks.
Told you we had something juicy.
We had something good. We've been sitting on this story all year. Cuban just told The Athletic he's decided to eliminate the tradition of playing the game. Yeah, just said that's enough. I'm not doing it.
I go back and forth with that too.
Me too.
I mean, because no other professional sport in another country, like in soccer, they don't do that.
Yeah.
They don't play. They reserve the national anthem for when it's a national team. They don't play it before every professional game.
I think the argument could be made like this too, right? All right. In the end, sports is a form of entertainment, right? You buy a ticket. You go sit to the game when you could buy a ticket. Or you watch on TV. You're planning to be entertained. Now, it's a different kind of entertainment. You're more emotionally involved than, let's say, watching a movie. But, people get worked up over movies and TV shows, too. But you don't get the anthem in front of those things. Like, you don't go to a Broadway play and hear the anthem before the actors take the stage. You don't go to a movie theater and they don't play the national anthem before the screen starts rolling the movie. So you don't get credits, go to the snack bar, here's the national anthem, and now here's your creature double feature. We don't do that. So why do we do it at sporting events? And why do we continue? Maybe a while back it was for patriotic reasons. Is it a tradition we need to continue doing? But I think with Cuban, it's not that he's downplaying, he doesn't want to be misconstrued here. He's not an owner that's like, I hate the kneeling, so I'm just going to take the anthem away so you don't have anything to kneel to. He's not doing that. He actually said if his players were to take a knee to support a cause they believed in, he would be proud of them. That's what he told The Athletic. He said, if they were taking a knee and they were being respectful, I would be proud of them. So he is very cautious of this being a sort of a move to sort of prevent his players from speaking out on issues they want to speak out, using the kneeling of the anthem to speak out. This is not Cuban trying to stifle that. He is just basically saying, look, I, you know, we don't do we need the constant conversation about it? If I eliminate the anthem, players can still talk openly about the causes they believe in, but we're not going to get in as an organization. We're not going to get into this season-long debate that never ends about kneeling for the anthem and respect for the flag and all of those things. He's pulling it off. I wonder how many owners saw that and said, man, I'd love to do that, but I can't where I live. Like, my town would lose its mind if we did that. Dallas seems like a place that would be that, wouldn't it? I mean, I've never lived there, but maybe it would. I think this is very bold of Cuban to do. I think a lot of owners are wondering, man, maybe we should follow suit with this and do what Cuban's doing, but I don't know how many will actually pull the trigger. It seems like a Rubicon, right? It seems like once you cross it, like, that's it. Like, once you're the owner that says, I pulled Anthem from games, it is hard to pull. It's hard to go back.
It's funny because that's how it started. I was just doing a quick little research on it. And how it started was during World War One.
It was for people to be patriotic?
Well, it was during Game 1 of the World Series between the Boston Red Sox and the Chicago Cubs. This was in 1918. This is back when Red Sox still had Babe Ruth and the Cubs weren't.
Won the World Series.
That's right. And I guess it was a year and a half after the Great War where 100,000 soldiers had died, and then the bomb had exploded in Chicago. So it was a very somber day. And then they sang the national anthem, and it was, you know, what people said or reporters said, that was the high point of the day, the high point of jubilation. And then it wasn't until, NFL Commissioner Elmer Layden at the end of World War II ordered that it be played before every football game.
And see how that trickled down to everything?
Then everyone started doing it.
Yeah, it trickled down to, like, now you can't even go to a Little League game. It's played in front of Little League games. It's played in front of everything. They do it in front of everything. Like, you go to some of these games, like, we're kids. There's always somebody bringing a tape or CD or something, or MP3 plugged into a speaker, like, of the anthem, right? And now Mark Cuban could be the one to reverse that tradition.
Bringing us back to, what, the Roaring Twenties?
Yeah, the Roaring Twenties. Like, the Great Gatsby days.
I mean, you know, I guess maybe save it for a special occasion so we can make a prop bet on it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly.
You know, or, you know, for World Series. But I mean, I get why we do it, but at the same time, I get why we don't need to.
Yeah, I kind of look, I like Mark Cuban a lot. I don't always agree with some of the things that he's done, but I thought his feuds early on in his NBA career were petty.
It
gave us something to talk about. But I went, man,
he's
dude,
fighting with the ref.
It's funny.
The court again.
I remember, and I was young then because I was when he bought the team. I remember thinking this guy isn't going to make it if he keeps doing this. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? I kept going. This guy, if he is going to get worked up over every little thing like this, he is not going to last. He's not going to make it. Well, he lasted, so God bless him.
They're going to demand that he sells the team. It's embarrassment.
Right. Like, every other day, he was complaining about David Stern officiating and the league. Like, I kept going, how can he do this? How can he keep this up constantly complaining?
Maybe I'm wrong, but I think maybe it's just the visual of it, but he was one of the first owners that always sat courtside.
Yeah, yeah. And he would go on the court, remember?
Yeah. All the time. Well,
but remember, too, he was like a 30-something-year-old billionaire that bought a team. So he had a lot of youthful enthusiasm, and he was really, you know, he was thrilled to be part of this very
now
exclusive club. Yeah,
now he's
older. And
I shouldn't storm the court. I'll just complain about him later.
David Stern must have been like, oh, my God, again with this guy in Dallas. I can't take it anymore. Tell me he did not tell the press that I'm rigging games against him. Oh, God.
Did we really approve him of ownership? Can we go back?
Yes. Why did we give this to an internet billionaire kid? Why did we do this? There wasn't some oil mogul in Dallas that would take this.
I miss the internet. David Stern.
I know. I miss David Stern. He was so great. All right, we'll continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. As we continue along, coming up, what will baseball look like in 2021? It could be interesting as we continue with Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. By the way, pitchers and catchers report next week. We are going to have a full baseball season. I'm kind of, this is one of those things where I'm like, okay, yeah, we'll see. I don't know how this is going to, 162 games in a, we're still, I know we're getting vaccinated and all that, but it is going to be very interesting to see how Major League Baseball navigates this. Steve Gardner is going to join us next hour. He's one of my favorite baseball guys.
He's going to explain to us how they're going to make money.
How are they going to make any money? Because I can't figure this out, how they're going to make any money. Somebody better explain to me what's going to happen in 2021.
I mean, sure, they got a lot of regional deals, but is that enough to sustain a major league ball club?
Yeah, so let's put this in perspective here, okay? So they're going to do 162 games. Now, the baseball owners wanted to delay the season. They wanted to move it a month. So they wanted pitchers and catchers to report in March, with the baseball season starting sometime in late August. So get about a month delay. And the union said no. And the owners at the time said, we want to shrink the number of games, but we'll pay you your full contract. And the players said, no, we're going to start on time. So we're starting on time. Okay, fine. We still don't really know what the attendance policy is going to be. We'll ask Steve about this, about are some teams going to be able to sell tickets? Other teams aren't going to be able to sell tickets. If the Dodgers can't sell tickets because California is in more strict lockdown mode than, let's say, Houston, is Major League Baseball just going to make a across-the-board decision and go, nobody sells tickets? Or are they going to do what they normally do with Major League Baseball is, hey, all you franchises are on your own financially. Figure it out as you go along. It'll be interesting because Rob Manfred's got, you know, a situation where he's going to have owners paying full checks and not a lot of revenue coming in. Look, we know the TV regional money is good. I remember a few years ago talking to Richard Justice about this, and he told me, he's like, man, these local television deals are fantastic for these baseball teams. So the economics of baseball seemed good. Now, don't get me wrong. You have to do it from an outside-in perspective when you talk about economics, because baseball doesn't let you know how good or bad anything is. They don't want you to see the books. So, you know, believe me, the union has tried. But they, you know, the local television revenue was really good. The sponsorships were really good. So you started seeing teams that were not the Yankees, not the Red Sox, really making some money, really becoming like a midfield in an auto race or something, where it's like, you know what, we might not be at the top of the list, but we're definitely not at the bottom of the list. And we've got some room here to play financially. But with no ticket revenue and everything that goes with that for 162 games, they just did a 60-game season where nobody went except a couple, you know, we finally got to the postseason. We started allowing some people in. Like, are they able to do that for a whole year before financially they go, yeah, okay, we really have to figure out where we're going now? It's going to be really interesting to me how they pull this off. And I've always said one of the things that you have to, as a sports fan, it's so difficult because COVID has changed the way we view sports in terms of economics. When before, you couldn't have cared less what your baseball team's economics were, only in how it affected signing players and keeping players. Yes, if you were a Pittsburgh Pirates fan, you kind of knew that they were not able to keep the bevy of young talent that was coming up through the ranks, right? You knew your limitations as an organization, as a market, and as an organization. But you never woke up thinking the Pirates were going to be bankrupt. Like, you didn't never thought about that. You never thought that one day they would go, no, we're out, right? Now, there are some teams that move because of economics, right? They go, like, we can't live here anymore, so we're going to go someplace else. But for the most part, that doesn't exist. But you got to also think that while that is sort of a code red situation, there is going to be this feeling like these owners are going to keep writing these checks. And where is the money coming from? Like, is it all coming from television revenue? Is it all coming from ads in the stands for where they black out a whole section and fill it with some big banner for some local company for the television broadcast? Is that equating the kind of money that they're going to be paying these guys?
Or are we going to have more cardboard cutouts?
Yeah. Are we going to have more cardboard cutouts for the season? Like, San Diego is going to be paying out a lot of money. Are they equipped to land that kind of the kind of income?
Yeah, no.
You know? I mean,
I don't even know if fan revenue can hold on to the kind of kind of payroll that San Diego all of a sudden has.
There's some bills you got to be writing, you know, so it'd be interesting. Plus, and then this is another thing we'll talk to Steve about. The gimmicks are back, right? They're going to do the runner on second thing again. There's a push. Now, it's not going to be this year, but there's a push for a universal DH across the board.
Yeah, just do it.
You know, which might as well.
I'm all for it.
The union's been begging for this forever. I mean, why wouldn't they?
Traditionalists.
I mean, think of
seeing pitchers hit balls, I guess.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, here's what Joel Sherman wrote in the New York Post about this. So, and this kind of makes sense, but again, it's sort of off the normal sports argument. So the union, of course, would want a universal DH because, like, if you're Edwin Encarnacion, right, and you want to be a designated hitter, you were limited as a free agent. If that's what your selling point was, if that's what your agent was pitching, you being a DH, you were limited to, you know, the 15 teams that had the designated hitter. You were precluded from going to any other team in the National League. So you could not, you only had 15 teams to bounce offers off of. Whereas if I'm a player that can field and bat, you know, and I'm a threat on both sides of that field, then I have 30 teams in free agency to go, that will court me and allow me to build up my, you know, potential income as teams bounce off each other. So the union obviously would want a guy like Edwin Encarnacion or anybody else as they get older to be able to use all 30 teams as leverage. That's what they want. And extends careers and all of that good stuff. The owners, from what Joel Sherman's pointing out in the New York Post, the owners are okay with the universal DH. There might be a couple in the National League that are sort of traditionalist, but they're okay. But what they see is, look, you guys want it. We're okay with it, but we're not going to give it to you for nothing. In the negotiation tactics, you're going to have to give us something if you want a universal DH. So the owners see that as a chip, the bargaining chip. Like, this is something you want. We're actually cool with it, but how about you give us expanded playoffs in return? How about that? Like, or something along those lines. Some concession on your part, give it to us, and therefore we will be able to give you universal DH. So they're holding off. But, you know, who knows? In the end, they might just go, fine, forget it. We'll just, everybody bats. We'll have a universal DH. Pitchers, you don't have to go to the plate to ground out to short or strike out.
Exactly. And, you know, no longer will we have to see a pitcher wearing a jacket on second base in the middle of summer.
Exactly.
I'm just done with it.
I am too. I don't like pitchers. Yeah. Pitchers batting stinks.
Oh, it's terrible. Every once in a while, every 15, 20 years, you get a Madison Bumgarner who actually can do something at the plate?
Yeah, that's it. They're very, very rare.
Or is it for the sports writers to go, and he helped out his own cause?
Yeah.
We don't care.
It was a Diamondbacks pitcher back in the playoffs of 2007. I was doing some writing, and I ended up writing a story about this Diamondbacks pitcher who was a good hitter. Like, it was kind of silly. It was like, yeah, he can hit. Wow. Here's a unicorn. He's a pitcher that actually is a threat at the plate. Very, very rare. That was, you know, exactly. So bring the universal DH. That's fine. But again, this is going to be, we'll see how it works.
The gimmick I don't like is the runner placed on second and next.
I don't either. I don't like that at all.
I'm fine with 7-inning doubleheaders.
Me too. I'm completely okay with that.
Because listen, that's a 14-inning game.
Yep.
I mean, that's a full day of baseball. 7-inning doubleheaders, fine. I'm all for that.
That works for me.
But, yeah.
Runner on second thing is,
it's just, ugh. I don't, what's the point?
Yeah, I'm you
know,
not.
Yeah, you know, every once in a while, you get an extra inning game. What, most of the time they go 10, 11?
I don't like it because statistically, it doesn't allow for a clean statistic, right? It, like, every batter is supposed to be counted against somebody else. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if I,
yeah.
Like, a batter comes to the plate, whatever he does, that's attributed to the pitcher, right? If he gets a hit, that goes on the pitcher. If he strikes out, that's a credit to the pitcher. The runner on second is somebody that's not accounted for in the box score. Like, it's an unearned run. Is that because he's not earned, or is it, or what? Like, I know they've already established all that, but you can make the debate either way. It doesn't make sense. It's like, it's just he's just there. He's not really supposed to be there. And if I'm a relief pitcher, I'm livid because I want to come in with a fresh slate. Like, well, I want to work my inning way I'm supposed to work my inning in the extra inning.
And is that run counted against him?
Yeah, that's right. Right.
I mean, if he scores, is that an earned run against him, even though the pitcher did not give up a hit, a walk, or anything like that? Did not put him on base.
I gave up a single, and this run crosses the plate, and I'm like, you know, like because he got a good jump on the ball. Like,
and then,
come on.
Obviously, let's look forward to the future. 10, 15 years from now, are we going to have a stat that says he was the greatest extra inning runner in the history of baseball?
Yeah, exactly. If a guy has a career of doing that, where he's he gets like 25 runs in his career from that spot.
I mean, at that point, you know what? I would get a track star and teach him how to steal.
I know. One other question.
Give Usain Bolt a pair of cleats and a baseball uniform.
One other question I want to ask Steve is, what's the minor league system going to look like? Are we even having minor league baseball?
I know, that's a good question.
Like, the Nashville Sounds, like, there's nothing. I mean, I don't think there is minor league baseball this
year. I mean, you know, now for us, I mean, we have a local club, the Sugarland Skeeters.
Yeah.
They're now the AAA affiliate for the Astros.
I always liked minor league baseball. Was one of those cool, like, not small town things, because it goes, I mean, a lot of places, I mean, but like in the middle of nowhere, Iowa, there'd be like a minor league baseball team, and it was cool, like a summer night watching. And now that whole system's been stripped because of COVID.
And
they may not bring it all back when it's calmed down. They may not bring it all back.
And apparently that's back on too. The finally we'll have the celebration of the Field of Dreams in Iowa.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Because that got postponed last year.
That's right. They did.
Road trip, Tony.
Good point. I know. I would love to see that. I would. That would be great. All right. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call in this hour of Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. So I'm going to get back, now that football season is over, it's time to really focus my attention on my college basketball team.
There you go.
Last night they played Alabama, South Carolina. That's my college basketball team.
Oh, okay.
Last night they played Alabama, and it was one of those games that was like, Alabama's really good. See, I know, right?
Of course they are.
Right? They're really good. They lead the SEC. And last night South Carolina took them to the wire and lost. And I was kind of bummed, even though like regular season games don't really move the needle for me because it's all about the tournament and getting to the tournament and whatnot. But I was kind of bummed because I thought to myself, this has not been a good year. It's been hard to follow. South Carolina's had a ton of games postponed and canceled and whatnot. But I was kind of like, man, it just would have been nice to have a nice win this season for a team that's not going to the tournament. That's not, you know, unless they make a run at the SEC tournament, whatever that's going to look like in March. But it was kind of, you know, it was the first time all year that I was kind of paying attention to the South Carolina basketball team, and they didn't quite live up to the moment playing Alabama. But Kentucky lost again last night, and Kentucky's not going to the tournament. And I saw this article that said, you know, was talking about how like Duke's in trouble and Kentucky's in trouble, and these teams aren't going to go to the tournament this year. And I thought, do we care? Like, unless you root for those teams, is the tournament really? Does it need to be a who's who of college basketball for us to enjoy it? Like, do we sit back on Selection Sunday and go, oh man, Kentucky, thank God they made it. All right, I'm glad Duke's in it. I'm glad Michigan State's in it. I'm glad the normal teams that are in here year in and year out are in this thing. Or do we go, oh, here's the 68 teams. Let's pick some brackets and let's have a good time. I couldn't care less if Kentucky's in this thing or not. I really couldn't. I
just assume they are.
Yeah, I mean, in most of the years they are, except a couple, like 6 years ago, they were in the NIT because they had a season full of injuries. That was the Nerlens Noel year. I think it was 2013, actually, because it was the year after they won the title. But I've never, like, Duke not being in the tournament would be awesome. Like, it would, like, not awesome from the standpoint of, because we always liked it, you know, because Duke's always in it. But it would be kind of, you know, rare. It'd be kind of rare. If you root for Duke, yeah, I mean, it would stink. But it's kind of rare that they're not in this thing. So if they have a bad year and they don't make it, all right, so what? So what? The tournament is really about two things. The NCAA tournament is about two things. People filling out brackets and having fun. And then as we, you know, start eliminating the good Cinderella stories and getting to the meat, I still think there's enough there to give you – it doesn't have to be Kentucky, Duke, or the normal blue bloods that we see in college basketball. It can be a Final Four where Iowa's in it this year with the best player in college basketball. Gonzaga's undefeated and has been number one all year. Baylor is a very, very good basketball team. It can change. Well, you can see Michigan in, you know, back in this thing. And Michigan's kind of been around a while. But, you know, it doesn't have to we don't necessarily need Kansas and Duke and Kentucky in this thing to have an enjoyable tournament.
Yeah, but is Gonzaga in that rare era of becoming one of those teams we start to hate?
Could be, man. They've been good for a while.
Because they're always there, and we just kind of hate teams that are always there.
Gonzaga's getting like that, man. Mark Fuchs continues to turn out good teams up there in Washington. It's Wake Up Call.